We are recording.
Okay, good evening, folks. It is Wednesday, November 16th, and I call this meeting at the National Airport Authority Board of Directors to order. And roll call, please.
Chairman Woods.
Here.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yes.
And Treasurer Heath.
Yes.
Director Duquette.
Here.
And Secretary Holland is absent this evening.
Okay, so first up, public input as it pertains to this evening's agenda. Going once, going twice. Okay. Minutes, approval of the NEA public minutes of October 19, 2022.
Put forward a motion to approve the public minutes for the meeting of Wednesday, October 19, 2022.
Okay, any discussion? Brian?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Okay. I will second the motion to approve the NEA public minutes of October 19, 2022. There's no more discussion. This will be a roll call vote since we have one remote member.
Ready? Chairman Woods?
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law?
Yes.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
Director Duquette?
Yes. Okay, motion carries. That brings us to the Treasurer's Report. Approval of the October 2022 financial statement and budget audit.
Okay, so I went through the September numbers with you folks last month, year to date, and discussed a lot of some of the issues with some of the transactions going on, and things are still pretty stable. Things are amazingly stable for October, the month of October. To the extent that we were off on the revenue side, we were off budget by a total of $18. There needs to be some volatility in some of the expense accounts, just again month to month kind of thing, but nothing that's gonna hurt us at the end. So we are just about we have a little bit of a surplus still for the year to date for the year, so we're still cooking along pretty well. The new sweep account at the bank has been open and active, so we're getting more of an interest kick on that, not a lot, but a little bit more. So that's about it for the finances. Oh, the audit is progressing. I'm not aware of any issues. I did chat with the auditors. I was over there one day last week or 2 weeks ago, and Susan's doing a good job at keeping them informed, and I'm not aware of any issues.
So we're expecting a draft next Friday.
Okay, so we have a draft financial statements next Friday?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay, good. So that's cooking along. So, anybody have any questions?
Report a motion to accept the October 2022 financial statement subject to audit.
Well, can I make this?
I'll second that.
Okay, any more discussion on the October 2022 financial statement?
No,
good. Okay. Roll call, please.
Hey, Chairman Woods.
Yes.
Vice Chairman Law.
Yes.
Treasurer Heath.
Yep.
Director Duquette.
Yes.
Okay, motion carries. So next up, NAA Communications. We received a letter of commitment from the NAA Aviation. This is regarding construction on the grass tie down strip.
Yes.
Okay. So that is available for anyone who wishes to see it. That brings us to reports. First up is the tower report.
So before we get off on this, just real quickly about, so how many commitments do we have? How many letters do we have?
I have two letters of commitment right now.
Is Greg one of them?
Greg is one of them.
Okay, so this is a new one.
Yep.
And it's my understanding is for the part up front.
It's out on the old grass tie down area. Yep.
Which is going to require the taxiway movement.
We're working on that. Nick will be talking about that. We had a meeting the other day with FAA and DOT.
But that development would require the movement of taxiway alpha?
We're working on that.
Okay.
We've come up with some alternatives because
okay.
It's been a battle to try to get them to you know, accept our justification.
Cuba, that's what
yes.
Yeah, okay. So, tower report. So, for the month of October, we had a total of 6,489 operations, down a total of 68 from September, or 1%. Year-to-year is off by 447 operations, or 6%. And year-to-date, we're off 9%. And that brings us to the manager's report.
Okay, good evening. Recent events, none. It's that time of year. We had a near recent event this morning, but we didn't get any snow, so that was good. We don't have any upcoming events in the winter. Items of interest. Recently on October 25th, Doucette Survey began marking the underground utilities adjacent to 79 Perimeter Road, which is this building. This is in preparation for Greg Leeson Infinity's development. And they came back the following week and did all the rest of the ground survey. They marked the utilities the first day, and they came back to the actual survey work the following week. 10/26, we held our annual snowfall meeting. I brought on an additional part-time employee this year because Bob Donadio is unable to help us this year. He's down in Florida for the winter. We all feel bad for him.
Yeah.
He's actually down there taking care of his folks, so he couldn't help us anymore. So I brought a new guy in. He has experience following. He's actually a marine mechanic, and he has a pretty flexible schedule in the winter. And as you all know, it's hard for me to find people that are willing to commit to 5 to 10 days a year for snow plowing, and I think this guy will work out great.
That's 3 in the morning.
Yeah, and he was recommended by Matthew Nutt, who works for Infinity Aviation, and so hopefully this works out. And we're all set. We've got all our equipment ready, and we went over all the plans, and should be business as usual for snow removal. Now we're just praying for no snow. On 10/27, I met with Rick Diamond from New Hampshire DOT Durham Aeronautics, and we did the airport's 5010 inspection, waiting on the results of that. I actually received an email from Rick yesterday, and I have to provide him a little more information, but that should be complete. Everything looked fine when we were out here doing it. On 10/28, I met with Greg McMillan and Uni Kim. Uni's with us tonight. From Rotor Tech to discuss their program updates. There's quite a bit going on. They're moving right along on their project, developing this autonomous R-22 system. The main topic of the discussion was they would like to now do tethered testing where it lifts off the ground upwards of 30 feet in the air. This is an ongoing discussion. I actually just got off the phone with Greg before I came in here. He called me. He's out in Boise at the moment. A lot of testing will go on out in Rome, New York, prior to them attempting to lift it off here if we actually move forward with that. Again, we're still negotiating. Early on, when Hector came to me, the initial statement was it'll never leave the ground at Nashua. And so I was fairly comfortable with that, and, Uni was there with our discussion the other day. I'm not 100% comfortable with it being launched tethered, even to 30 feet, definitely not in the current location that it's in right now, where we're doing it out on the grass tie-down area. It's too close to people, cars, buildings, etc. So I did propose an alternate location, which would be what we refer to as the grassy knoll north of Echo. Where that helipad sits that CNR does practice on. It's very well protected up there. But again, we're still negotiating this, trying to get more information. They've reached out to the FAA and they're seeking approval. So moving forward with that. And I'll let you know as we have more discussions about that. On 11/3, received the letter of commitment from 9ANCO, which was the communication we had this evening. The location is for development of a 20,000-square-foot hangar near the Delta Ramp, also known as the Grass Tie-Down Area. On 11-4, Chairman Woods, Matt Karen, Nick Ippolito from Gale Associates and I met with New Hampshire DOT Bureau of Aeronautics and FAA representatives to discuss recent updated hangar developments' impact on the moving of Taxiway Alpha and the AWOS. We also had a subsequent meeting with New Hampshire DOT Bureau of Aeronautics to revise our CIP because the immediate priority is to get the AWOS moved, because in its current location it is blocking the development of one of Greg's potential hangars that he's going to develop beside 79 perimeter. So Nick will talk more about that. We've reached out to the FAA, the people we need to speak to get this thing moved. There's no grant available to move this. It's what they call a reimbursement agreement. And once we get all the approvals, we move forward, we pay for the move, and then it's a scheduled reimbursement agreement with the FAA. And we had planned for this back when we did the master plan. It'll be located somewhere north of Delta on the infield between Alpha and the runway. And like I said, it's been planned like that for a long time. In its current location, it's actually it's hindered by the location of the tower. It really never should have been put where it is. And if we further develop hangars, it just makes it worse. And obviously, it's blocking the front of one of Infinity's new hangars. So we're hoping that will go off without a hitch, and we'd like to see that moved ASAP. We're kind of shooting for the spring on this project. And again, Nick will speak more about that. And I think that's all I have to talk about right now. Unless somebody has any questions.
Just a couple of things, Chris. When you say it's a reimbursement deal, in other words, we pay for it, does that mean we front the money?
Yes.
So, and any idea what the cost rate?
Well, we talked the other day, Nick can talk a little more. We were talking around $100,000.
Okay. All right, so it's not going to, so we have the money on this one.
Yeah, I think we can do this. Okay. We'll, I don't want to.
Right.
It could be $250,000, but
I just want to make sure it wasn't $500,000.
No, we all came up, I think Nick had said the other day, and maybe even Carol, that we're talking around $100,000.
Okay.
And they usually, come in a little higher than it actually is historically. So we'll see what happens with that.
So on the snow plowing and the equipment, you mentioned that things were ready to go. So I'm assuming then that we're not going to see any big. So, of course, you start moving snow. We don't need to fix anything right now to get that.
We have a few things that he's still working on, but for the most part, the bulk of the equipment is ready to move.
So, there is money in the budget for equipment, but I just want to make sure that.
Yep. Unfortunately, you never know what's going to happen tomorrow. We have a lot of old equipment, and I can tell you that we spent a lot of money last year. There was a lot of deferred maintenance, we'll call it.
Yeah.
And, all in all, last year we spent $27,000 on maintaining snow equipment.
Right.
And, some of this is shop supplies and other vehicle maintenance supplies, and the two trucks are involved in this, and I know they get used all year, but most of this was snowplow equipment.
Right.
So we had I guess we'd call that almost a worst case scenario. But again, you never know. You lose an engine tomorrow and the snowblower, and you're going to have a massive expense. But, Eldon's doing a great job of maintaining everything, changing all the fluids. He's rather proactive on a lot of things, so real happy with that. And he keeps the fleet going.
Yeah, on the FAA, I know that Nick's going to talk about some of the engineering stuff later, but are they actually starting to understand the DOT specifically? I understand that it's one of those things where we've got to do this, that it will stop the airport from growing if this runway is, if this taxiway is moving. I mean, are they getting that message somehow?
We've conveyed that message.
We've been conveying it.
Yeah.
Is there any movement? in terms of their ability to actually advocate and get this thing done?
That was brought up. I brought that up at the meeting the other day. I, you know, recommended or suggested, or however you want to put it. I mentioned it to Carol from NHDOT, you know, requesting that they advocate for our airport, and she said that, you know, we need to advocate for our airport, and we think that we've done that,
yeah.
Providing letters of intent, letters of commitment. We have people under contract, yeah. And we actually have work going on, as you saw the engineering going on out in the field out here. And shy of somebody popping a hanger up, I don't know how much more we could advocate for the project. We're answering all the questions as best we can. You know, there's a team of engineers working on this on a regular basis at Gale Associates. Mm-hmm. And again, Nick will talk a little further about some alternatives that we've come up with to try to make this work. Because like you said, without this, we're unable to develop that area, and we're losing money daily. And the state of New Hampshire is losing money. There's aircraft that want to come into the state and be based here.
Everybody's losing.
Mr. Coe in particular has about 7 aircraft that will almost immediately be based here.
Right.
And
so the state's losing money, the city losing mm-hmm. tax revenue, and we're losing an airport.
Given the significance of, you know, this opportunity that's not being acted on here, was there any additional advice or inference to what this additional advocacy on our part would be, or what we can do, or how we help ourselves more than?
It's all part of justifying it and presenting it to the FAA. There are budgetary constraints that we've been told about via the FAA, and one of the things that Luke Garrison mentioned in the meeting the other day was that, you know, if we were to move forward with moving Taxiway Alpha, there wouldn't be any funding available till like 2027, and that's a tough buy on our part, because we have people here now that want to develop. So again, we came up with a couple alternative plans when we met with Carol and Rick from New Hampshire DOT, and I'm kind of excited about a couple of these options, and Nick came up with one of them, and he'll discuss those in a few minutes more in detail.
Okay, well, I wasn't at the meeting. I wish I could have been, but I couldn't do it that day, but I'm not buying that there's no money available to 2027. I'm just not buying it. If this was on our CIP for 10 years to move that taxiway, so it's not a surprise. So I don't want to have the DOT or anybody else say this is an excuse not to approve the movement. They're two separate things. Approve the runway, the taxiway relocation, then get it funded. They're two different decisions. You can't say, oh, well, there's no point in moving it because we don't have the money right now anyway. But they're two separate issues. And I'm not buying the fact that the FAA can't find money somewhere to get this thing done, and the DOT can't find a way to help us do this when it's been on our CIP for years. And we've got people waiting to develop that property. So, you know, if they're saying we need to advocate for ourselves, we've been doing that. And if you know, if the next step in advocacy for us is going around them, then we will.
So David, something that I noticed at this meeting, Chris, correct me if I'm wrong or agree with me if I'm right, is that in previous meetings, you know, at the end of the meeting, they basically said, no, there's not enough there yet to justify moving the taxiway.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't say that this time.
Okay.
So yeah, I felt like we were moving forward in these last couple meetings. You know, they were actually, you know, listening. And because we came, from day one, they said we needed letters of intent.
Right.
We got letters of intent. Then it was, they wanted letters of commitment.
Right.
Got letters of commitment. And then New Hampshire DOT was insisting we have people on the contract. We have people on the contract. And now we actually have work being done on the ground. So we've met, you know, all the criteria for, I'm going to call it the moving goalposts.
Okay, so we've done our part.
And like I said, short of us putting hangers up and saying, well, here we are, that's where we're at. And they were listening this time. And again, we had this meeting with Carol. And I think, you know, you'd like to hear what Nick has to say with these alternative plans. where we think we can actually move forward with this development. And, you know, one of our alternatives is not moving Taxiway Alpha and still making it work.
Well, okay.
You know, right now we have a rehabilitation project in place for Alpha that we started because we didn't have all this together at the time. Alpha's failing. Alpha had a Band-Aid put on it back in, I don't even remember what year now, 2013 or it needs to be either rehabilitated in place ASAP or it needs to be relocated or one of the things that Nick's going to talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to save you something, Nick.
Yep, not a problem.
No, and I know there's a crossover, you know, there's a between the engineering part of it and the operations and the management part of it. So I don't want to steal Nick's thunder either. So.
This is
Groundhog Day. Every time this comes up, it's the DOT doesn't think it, we haven't met criteria, and it's just the same thing over and over again. And you know, in the meantime, you know, we're losing. And what I worry about, and we'll get to Nick in a minute, but what I worry about is, okay, great. So we're doing all this work. We're coming up with alternatives. But you're going to get them off the hook to move them up to move the taxiway. And so at some point in time, either we need to move it or we don't.
Yep, and we'll discuss that.
Okay.
This was all part of our discussion.
Okay.
And trust me, when I go to these meetings, if you were there, you would see that
I've got no doubt about it.
Yeah, we push real hard on this.
I've got no doubt that we're doing what we're supposed to do.
Yep. And it's a work in progress. And I do understand some of their points. We all do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're answering, you know, all the questions to try to clarify any issues they have.
Okay.
And,
okay.
Again, I have to defer to the rest of the discussion with Nick.
Okay, thank you.
Wes, you had your hand up a moment ago?
Director Heath pretty much covered all the points that I was going to ask.
Okay. So, with that, Nick, you're up. Airport Engineering Report.
Thank you very much. I hope everyone can hear me all right. So Gale Associates is administering, at the current time, two projects on behalf of the authority. The first being the rehabilitation of Taxiway Alpha in its current location. The project status is the grant has been approved by Governor and Council, and is now ready for drawdown of funds. So subsequent to that, Gale prepared the first reimbursement request for that project. And submitted that to NHDOT. NHDOT informed us that payment has been withheld until the Nashville Airport Authority makes a decision on whether to rehabilitate Taxiway Alpha in the current location or to pursue relocation. If the authority chooses to move forward with the relocation of Alpha in its entirety, Gale's design efforts will not be eligible for reimbursement under the AIP. So it seems as though despite the guidance we were given last year, if situations have changed and now Taxiway Alpha is, I guess, eligible for relocation, all of a sudden now the design is no longer reimbursable under AIP. So we scheduled a meeting for Thursday, November 10th at Gale's offices where we discussed a path forward. Which is what Chris had alluded to. We discussed the ramifications of relocation versus rehab. And we discussed the idea of a partial relocation. Because, I mean, let's face it, the space from the 1-4 end to about the tower ramp doesn't need to be expanded at this time. You have plenty of fair tie-down space, so what we looked into was a partial relocation of Alpha from about the location of the tower to the 3-2 end to allow for development. That was received by NHDOT fairly well. They did say that would result in a prorated design for the rehab because we can still use portions of that. And then the design would be eligible for the relocated portion as well. Now that is an option, but I guess looking at the options that would be in the best interest of the Nashville Airport Authority, You know, it's not Gail's job to just make as much money as possible. We want to do things once, do it right, and save the client as much money as possible. So in this situation, it appears that the best option and the least costly option for the authority is to simply move forward with the rehabilitation in place and develop the hangars as you would. We can work towards relocation of the AWOT. We can get that out of the way for Greg and Infinity's development. And then if Mr. Naito wants to build a hangar, keep in mind that there may not even be an issue with the OFA, because when we originally evaluated how large a hangar and what type of aircraft would be stored in it, we were looking at the G650. So we had a 30,000 square foot hangar in that grass tie-down area with a G650 parked out in front. Now that caused an issue with the object-free area of Taxiway Alpha in its current location, but as we know, Mr. Ko has Honda jets, which are a lot smaller. His hangar would only be 20,000 square feet. And a cursory review indicates that this would fit in that area. So even if the authority does not relocate Taxiway Alpha in the near future, I think the developers who have come to the table with letters of commitment can still develop their hangars with no detrimental effect to the airport, aside from perhaps Mr. Coe's hangar obstructing the tower's view, but we discussed alleviating that by use of cameras. So at this point, it seems like the best path forward, or the least costly path forward, would be to continue along with rehabilitation of Alpha in its current location. Now, one of the things that I asked Carol during our follow-up meeting was, well, if a hangar developer wants to build in that grass tie-down area and it does cause a concern for the OFA on Taxiway Alpha if it doesn't move, could we apply for a modification of standards with the FAA to allow for a deviation from FAA standards as far as the OFA goes? And if that is granted, then, okay, great, your hangar's good to go. If it's denied, then would the FAA entertain an early relocation of Alpha prior to the 10-year design life that this rehabilitation project carried? I thought it was very interesting because my specific question was, if the MASA standard is not granted, would FAA then consider relocating Alpha? And it was very interesting the way Carol phrased that question to the FAA. She didn't ask that question. She asked, if a MASA standard is not granted, would that prohibit the rehabilitation of Alpha in place? So it seems like, despite telling us she's advocating for it, that the way she phrased that question leads me to believe she's steering the FAA towards an answer that results in not funding things for the airport.
Hey, Nick, I got a question for you, Joe.
Yep.
You can tell me if I'm all wet on this one, but just, so the catch here is that, you know, they're saying, well, we're going to wait to see if the NAA chooses to move forward relocation, the whole relocation thing, right, the very topic that we've been talking about, which is interesting. And you don't have to obviously get into any kind of numbers. You may not even have a good swag at it right now, but if we went ahead and said, look, do the rehabilitation design work, right, whatever that is, whatever that scope of work is. Given that the new Alpha location is sort of preloaded, right, as part of the original runway redo,
yep,
how much of the design in the rehabilitation in place would be applicable to a relocation, meaning if we just came to you and say, hey, Nick, we're going to get you a change order to take that design you completed for the rehab and apply it to a relocate, is that like a, you know, 10% of the cost of doing the original rehab package, or is that like 90%? Is that essentially doing the work over again? I'm just trying to get an understanding of how much of this work can you get funded, and then later on if we say, look, if we have to pay for the difference, Oh, yeah, it's an extra couple, whatever. So I'm just trying to get an understanding of, are the two pieces, are the two scopes of work somewhat related, closely related, or not even close?
Well, unfortunately, the design efforts that take the longest are the geometric design, the grading, the layout of the lights and the margins.
Right.
And all of that changes with a relocation.
No, absolutely. I was wondering if there was, once you lay it out in the existing location, like in your CAD file, you can grab those elements and move them to the new location. I just didn't know how much involved there is if you have to start from scratch or, you know, I mean, I do this all the time with mechanical systems where we can apply a design that we've come up with and they say, oh, the customer says, oh, we want to do something a little bit different or in a different location. Oftentimes we can grab a majority of that design and add relatively minimal effort as compared to the original scope of work to come up with, you know, the Rev 1. I was just trying to understand if there's opportunity there to kind of go down both paths to our advantage.
Yeah, I think the grading of the taxiway itself we need to get entirely redone. I think the geometry, again, it's moving, so you'd have to redraft that. I think the lights, you could probably slide to the new location and be all right. Or actually, you know what, I can't even say that because we're rehabilitating to the current geometry of Taxiway Alpha, where if we relocate, we have to bring the turning radii and the pavement width to the new standards.
Okay.
So
you're basically starting, you're probably doing 80% of it.
Yeah, I just want to see if there's any commonality we could leverage to our advantage, but if there isn't.
The pavement box design would remain the same. The safety and phasing would likely stay the same, but I would say no more than probably 20% of the rehab design could be carried forward.
Okay. So let me make sure I understand this. So now, you know, we've been fighting to get the and justifying over and over again the relocation of Alpha, and based on the little discussion that went on with Carol and the FAA. Am I hearing that now the rehabilitation's in jeopardy? Am I understanding that properly?
Well, we haven't heard back on whether or not FAA would, in a case where a MOSA standard is not granted, pull back the rehab. I don't even think it really applies to the situation, actually, because there is currently no hangar obstructing the OFA about an internal location. So
this 20,000 square foot hangar, is that an issue with the setback?
I don't believe so. I think you could have aircraft parked in front of the hangar and still have a clear OFA to taxiway out.
Okay, so that particular hangar does not encroach, does not affect this OFA standard. Correct?
That is, yep.
Okay. So the problem is that if we go ahead and do this and we start, what I'm worried about is that if we don't move the taxiway now, it's going to preclude any other further development down the road other than these two, the ones that are on the drawing board right now.
So these are the things that he posed to Carol that she is going to the FAA to request clarification on. Is what we talked about in our meeting.
So, I think
hold on for a second. What, Nick?
Yep. Well, I think any way you cut it, the only development that would impede on Taxiway Alpha is something large enough for a G650.
Okay.
If anyone else comes in, like Mr. Coe does, and says, I'd like to build something a little bit smaller for my smaller jet, I don't think that would stop a development in the area next to where Mr. Coe is developing. It's only the largest jet that the airport can accommodate that would prohibit.
Which is why the FAA paid for a 6,000 foot runway.
Right. Yeah, understood.
And Nick, this is Farrell. If we were to make the joggle in the taxiway that you know Chris very artfully drew on the whiteboard. So if that would come to pass, if I remember correctly, FAA said that they would also make that taxiway narrower. Is that correct?
That is correct. It would go from 40 feet to 35 feet.
Okay. So am I seeing it as an S turn around the hangars? Is that what we're doing? Well, he.
It's a pair of 45s. Again, I'm a terrible artist. I apologize. It's a pair of 45s, bringing it in 150 feet closer.
Is that done anywhere in the world?
Yeah, there's situations like this.
Okay.
Nick came up with this, and it's actually a good solution. But again, you know, when we talked to them, this we're waiting on word back about the modification to standard. And it looks right now, with this 20,000-square-foot hangar that Mr. Coe wants to develop, and he's given us a letter of commitment, he's ready. If we put that up, we don't believe that it's going to encroach on the OFA.
Right, and no modification would be required.
Right, and so if this happens, then we build out there, Greg builds all of his stuff, we move forward with the rehabilitation in place, which we, you know, be honest with you, we're on the hook for $280,000 right now waiting for this grant to pay Gale Associates. We get that done, and one of the other questions to the FAA was, okay, we move forward with this, which is what we believe they want us to do. We build these hangars, we build Mr. Coe's hangar, and then if somebody comes to town a year from now or whenever and says, hey, I need to build a 650 hangar, are they going to, at that point, allow us to, now that we have another justification, allow us to reconstruct as we've depicted up here? We all kind of got together and decided that full length on the movement of Alpha, as much as that's what was in the plan for over 10 years now, isn't actually necessary because we're not going to develop down in the north end. I don't have anywhere to do it unless I removed all the tie-downs, and we're not doing that. So the partial relocation makes a lot of sense, and I think that, you know, this has not been presented to the FAA yet. I can tell you right now, this idea was brought up by the FAA about a year ago, and it was drawn up with a couple of 90s in it, and I thought that was crazy, and Nick made the simple tournament of 45s, and it made a lot of sense finally. So that, you know, we're waiting on information to hear back. And again, I saw that email, Nick, and I tried to call you. I couldn't get through to you, but it was really bizarre how she posed that question. You're absolutely right.
I think she's trying to steer the FAA towards the answer she's looking for, honestly.
I have two questions. First, is it 13, 15, 17? Are they waived for the Object Free Area? That's the first question, because they're too close. And my second question is if this new developer puts the building he's talking about in the old grass tie-up, where would you put a building for a Gulfstream? Doesn't all the real estate used up in that?
No.
This was room between that and the tea hangers were.
Where is there enough room?
We have conceptual drawings in that area, Wes, that show, I believe, Nick, was it three large hangers in that area?
Yeah, I believe it was two that were capable of accommodating a G650.
Yeah.
But again, if someone does put a hangar capable of accommodating a 650, that taxiway object free area is going to be violated.
Is it already by 13, 15, 17?
Well, 13, 15, and 17 are close to the inner.
They're close to the inner, and they don't have any large aircraft that could go out and be an obstruction.
Okay, so it's not the physical buildings. It's
the aircraft.
You pull the airplane out.
Right. Okay. It's the obstruction, the temporary obstruction of an aircraft.
Okay, thank you.
Correct, Nick?
That is correct.
That's why that other hangar is just in the middle of nowhere. So
the shoe and the shoe box.
Yeah, because the plane can away from
it. Okay.
And that's why with Mr. Coe's hangar, like Nick said, he's planning on Honda jets. A Honda jet is 39 feet long. That's really small compared to a G650. Of course, he has two on order, and there's potential for, I think it was either six or eight more that they wish to base in the Northeast and be managed by Mr. Coe, along with his two Cirrus aircraft, his Bell 407, and I think I'm missing something else, Nick. He's got a Diamond
DA-62. So he has a fleet of he has the Diamond Twin as well. And, you know, while we're talking about it, I introduced him to Greg Lezon, and the two of them got together and in a collaborative effort so that, you know, we don't lose Mr. Coe in the meantime. If we have to move things around, things take time. He's willing to accommodate Mr. Coe with hangar space to incentivize him to be based at Nashua.
Okay.
A lot of moving pieces. And so, Nick, I guess to sum it up, you know, I know we're waiting to hear back from the FAA and Carol about this mod to standard. I think moving forward, you're absolutely correct. We talked about this in length the other day after the meeting, that moving forward with the rehabilitation in place, it's already planned out. If we did this, we could get this project going in the spring.
Can't we, this is maybe a stupid question, but can't we just simply talk to the FAA directly and get them to answer our questions?
Well, we do. We've had
rather, Carol has to send a letter. Why can't we get that send a letter to FAA? Does this work or doesn't it?
This is what? The block grant program.
You know what? But it's not working. It's not working.
Don't disagree with
you. The block grant is not working. There's too many fingers in it. There's an obstruction in it. And we just need to go right to the FAA and get the answers and get the process that we need. It's craziness.
I agree with you, Dave. It doesn't sit right with me that there are all these closed door meetings between the DOT and FAA that they discuss things that affect everyone involved but have no interest in involving those people. I would think that for the sake of transparency, they would want to be communicating out in the open, but for some reason that doesn't happen.
Okay. We've got to get a direct line to the FAA, period. That's the solution. It's just not working.
Well, I think for that to happen, we would need to get the attention of our politicians.
There's got to be a way in this block grant thing for an airport to simply, remove itself from the process and go direct. I don't understand the details of this block grant thing and how it was obtained. But when it stops working, you got to make a move. You got to do something different.
This goes back to during the Part 13 investigation, the exhaustive Part 13 investigation, where I tried to make contact direct with George Pantelli.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, that wouldn't happen. We tried to meet direct with George. And George said, you have to go through Carol.
Wow.
And it's all because of the block grant.
Okay. Well, we need to, we can keep going back and forth like Groundhog Day with the DOT and all that, and it's just not going to change. We got to do something different. Because, it's the whole definition of insanity, you keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. It's not going to happen.
I think when the FAA or the DOT says the airport needs to advocate for themselves, I think that's exactly what they're referring to.
Right.
Get the six reps involved, get congressmen involved, reach out to them, say, this is what we need, it's going to bring X, Y, and Z to the state of New Hampshire, can you pull for us?
If advocating for ourselves, fine, we'll do that. We'll go sit on somebody's desk in Oklahoma City until we get answers. You know, this is stupid.
Nick, why don't we move on, please?
Oh, but this is so much fun.
We got one more question in the audience.
I'm not sure if it's going to be helpful, but I sit on the Aviation Users Advisory Board for the DOT. We're going to have an upcoming meeting December 6th, I believe. If I get the information I can mention, I'm not sure if it would do much, but it's the advisory board for SUNY and the local DOT up in Concord.
You got about 10 extra seats that you can fill?
Well, I can ask if people could be in attendance.
Who's the chair?
We have a new chair. I have a new chair. She's just got appointed.
They need the name.
Yeah. Okay. I can send it over. She's just appointed.
Okay. Thank you. The governor?
The previous chair just resigned. This will be my second meeting, though, so I'll go and unblame him. But I mean, if anything helps, so this is DOT with, her name is Rachel, she oversees the board, and they're reporting to the new DOT manager up in Concord, okay. Irrigation.
Yeah, I mean, anything, you know, all kidding aside, if somebody, you know, Chris or Carol or myself or somebody could be with you, and, you know, because I think my understanding is the governor's already gotten wind of a little bit of this.
Okay.
And so, you know, I think there's an opportunity there, you know, to get as many voices as we can, many different places as we can, so that the powers that be keep hearing the same thing. They're not just hearing it from one source. You know, Chris isn't complaining, Carol's not complaining. It's a whole bunch of other people that are involved in this.
But I'm seeing the impact of this as well from like the GA side, and I'll keep my questions for a later meeting. But you know, if these changes are delayed and everyone's on a crunch for hangar space, you know, hopefully right. In the future there'll be new flight training programs that move in and what have you. I wouldn't want to see that just as a GA user at this airport. So I'd be happy to have these sort. Do you mind if I reach back out to you, Chris, and see if I can get you on the agenda?
Please, thank you, Dominic.
Absolutely, Dominic. Great. Thank you.
Yeah. I don't know whether Dave knows, but, you know, government agencies have to respond to congressional inquiries.
No, I understand.
And I would suggest that not don't work just at the state level.
No, I understand.
Yep. So, Wes pointed out a moment ago that Kevin Avar, you know, got reelected.
Mm-hmm. And he's not happy with DOT.
No, especially since they blew him off the last time he wrote them a letter.
Right.
So, anyway.
So they want advocacy? We'll do advocacy.
Nick, please go ahead.
All right. And so the second project is the Rehabilitate Golf and Foxtrot Ramp project. The AIT portion of the funding for this project has been issued, executed, and returned to the NHDOT Bureau of Aeronautics. We're waiting for confirmation that it is on the agenda for the either November or December Governor and Council meeting. Once it is approved, we can file the first reimbursement for design services related to that job. Gail is preparing the contractor's contract. Those went out, I believe it was yesterday afternoon. So they went to Continental Paving first. They should be executed and sent over to you guys sometime next week. Once those are fully executed, if the authority, perhaps Susan or Chris, could you just scan me a copy of the completed contract once it's signed?
Sure.
That way I have it for my files, and then we can begin preparations for a spring construction kickoff. So at the time this agenda was prepared, Chris had not signed and returned those grant offers. I understand he has it to this point, so no recommended actions at this point. So under general items, I do have the Air Force 2023 project has yet to be determined, and the options for the NAA to consider are a project to relocate the AWOC, a project to perform runway crack sealing and RSA maintenance, or to continue with the rehabilitation of Alpha, in which case I believe that money has already been set aside. So if the authority does want to proceed with the Alpha rehabilitation in place, that does not preclude you from a 2023 project to, say, relocate the AWOC. However, the authority would like to proceed, we'll make the necessary provisions to move in that direction.
Nick, could you touch on one other subject, and it was for the rehabilitation in place of Alpha. The contractor's bid has expired, and
You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yes. So, way back in May of this year, when we had originally had the idea to move forward with the rehab, I reached out to Sargent, who was the low bidder. They said their bid has expired. They can't honor their bid price anymore, which would allow us to move on to the second low bidder, Continental. In May, they said that they were willing to honor their bid, but when I reached out to Bruce earlier this week, he replied and said that he can no longer honor his bid price either. So I think if we do move to rehabilitate Alpha in place, we're going to have to put out that bid package again and rebid it. That is not a huge cost. And I don't know what kind of budget we have remaining under the bidding phase, but there would be some costs to the authority in that scenario, that being the newspaper publication. That may be it. There may be some additional fees for Gail to re-host that bidding, but I can't say that for certain without taking a look at the budget and what's left.
Just so everybody knows.
Any other questions for Nick this evening? Okay, so we'll move on. We have no outstanding committees at the moment. Old business, Greg Leeson, Infinity Aviation for their hangar development. Greg isn't with us tonight, so.
Yeah, he was hoping to get here by 6:30. He had a meeting, but doesn't look like he's going to make it.
Okay, so I think we'll table that for now. New business, snow removal rate increase.
Okay. So, as everyone knows, everything's gone up. Wages, cost of eggs, bread, fuel. And we don't charge a lot of money to plow around these hangars here at the airport. And I did a little study just to let everybody know the kind of expense it is, what the expense is to plow the airport. And I know we've had discussions in the past where, it's like we need more snowstorms to generate income. This is a loss every time it snows for me. And just to give you, without giving you all the details on it, each storm, our average expense is $7,800. For the National Airport Authority to pay for all the equipment, the man hours, the fuel. The equipment being all the maintenance that goes on throughout the year, like we discussed earlier. We had $27,800 in maintenance expenses in this past year alone. And I think, I don't have it in front of me, I think we're already up to like $5,000 for this year, this fiscal year. So, with that, our income per storm from the hangar tenants, owners, condominiums, etc., our income is only $3,375. So we have a $4,500 delta. And
at some point we can snow ourselves in the bank.
So, at the end of the year, 10 storms, that's $45,000. Now I understand, and everybody understands, that we don't only plow around the hangars. We do the runway, the taxiway, and the ramps. And obviously that serves all of the tenants of the airport and transient as well. And there's no way around that. But the reality is, right now what we charge people, condominiums, for instance, a block of T-hangers, Dave, your condominium association that I'm part of as well, we pay $100 per storm. And I believe there's 12 units in our building. That's not a lot of money for everybody to get the service that they get. If you had to hire a contractor, it would cost you, my guess is about 4 to 5 times what we charge here. And I know that my brother's a contractor, and I know that contractors, they're not in the business to make friends, they're in the business to make money. And they have serious expenses with equipment, et cetera. And quite frankly, we have those same expenses, except we're not here trying to turn a profit. We're just trying to cover expenses on this
and obviously make, you know, a little bit of money to, you know, continue to improve things, programs, et cetera. So what I came up with is we have 28 entities that pay us $100 a storm right now, five that pay $115 per storm. It's just far too low of a cost. And I ran a few scenarios here, and basically what I came up with is a 20% increase, and 20% might seem substantial, but you're talking from $100 to $120 per storm. So in a building like ours, Dave, that would be each tenant pays $10 per storm to have everything plowed out in front of them at the end of the year. If you had I based all this on a 10-storm season, you know, that's $100 per person.
Yeah.
And the people that are paying $115, they will go to $138. And again, this is still.
So there's five. You said there's five hangers at $115.
Yeah, and there's two others that we're going to discuss changing their rate. Those are the Infinity hangers. We do an awful lot for Infinity, way more than we do for any of the others, in terms of, you know, their ramp space. Being the FTO, you know, our priorities are runways, taxiways, and businesses. As far as businesses go, they get the priority because they're the FTO.
Sure.
And, you know, we bend over backwards for everybody. I think I do. And, you know, I think my team does a great job. And Infinity is definitely, we need to raise their prices. Carl and I discussed this earlier. I'm going to discuss it with Greg Leeson. I was hoping that he would be here, but I don't think he's going to have a problem with this because I think they know the service that we provide to them.
Yeah, I'm not expecting a lot of pushback on the T-hangers.
Yeah.
I think that, you know, your scenario, you know, an extra $10 or whatever,
right,
that's not an issue. The part I worry about are the ones that are the larger hangers. And the Infinities of the world are the larger hangers. But they only had 115.
They're at 115.
So there's two price levels plus Infinity that I'm hearing.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, I think those increases are, you know, are not gonna. I think again the only pushback is anybody that has multiple big hangers, but
those multiple big hangers are full of airplanes right now. We don't have any lack in.
No.
Hangar tenants right now.
Still going in the negative direction because diesel's gone more than 20%.
Yeah, this is
year,
still.
Right?
I know you did the $7,000 calculation, and you know, there's a lot of. I don't know how you did the payroll part of it, but you know, some of that does. Some of the payroll's already there anyway.
I get it, but we're still out there working.
Right, and so it may not be that. I'm not sure it'd be the $4,500 spread that we're losing, but it's certainly something, you know. So, and again, you know, I don't think we've changed that plowing rate since I've been flying.
We have.
I don't remember.
I think the last time the hundreds went from 85 to 100.
That was a while ago. What was it last year?
Well, we get a better rate.
Yeah.
Through the city, but it, you know, to be honest with you, we pay $4 a gallon for diesel, and that's double what we used to pay.
Yeah.
So our fuel expense doubled like everybody else. Cost them, you know, all these parts we've been buying there.
Yeah. No, because I don't think that we have to justify.
Right. And no. Quite frankly, I have to do this.
I know.
I can't not do this.
Right. I agree.
You know, we're going to revisit the tie-down rates next year as well. We have to.
Wes,
as the treasurer for the Hangar 109 Condo Association, I'll say a few words. First of all, I think that the crew does a great job of plowing. And $20 is not a big deal. But I will suggest that it sounds like the larger hangars with larger ramp spaces are undercharged, and I think that that's where you have the opportunity as a business to close that gap. Also, as noted, the guys who fly for fun and recreation are low lower down the priority list. And so, you know, I don't have to go fly 10 minutes after it stops snowing. And so, once again, I would suggest that the higher priority customers, you can, as a business, justify a higher priority rate. I kind of find the logic of saying each tenant of the building is not paying a lot suspect, simply because they don't get charged. As the treasurer of the condo association, I'm the guy who sees the bill. And they don't, the individual unit owners get to think about plowing once a year at the annual condo association meeting. So I'm not really concerned about increasing from 85 to 100 to 100 to 120, but I think as a business, the logic needs to be make more sense. So that's my two cents. Thank you.
Okay. So what do we need to approve it, or what do we need to do? You just cut
it I don't out? Think so. I'm just making you aware of it, and if okay. anybody says no, then I guess we'll continue to discuss it. Because like I said, we need to do this.
Okay.
I wouldn't do this. As everybody knows here, I have multiple hangars, and I'm a tenant, and I pay these,
yeah.
even though I'm not the condo association.
Well, in Robert's Rules of Order, actually, probably a motion by the authority would probably be appropriate to back up the business decision of the manager. That's my decision.
Mm-hmm. It can't hurt.
Yeah. Yep. It certainly can't hurt.
Well, I don't know. I'm gonna go buy a snowblower and do it myself.
You have to get the manager's permission.
It's like a cool voucher. You can't do that.
You have to get the manager's permission, Dave. I don't know.
There used to be a snowblower. We used to use it.
Joe, would you like to
put a motion? Sure. I'll put the motion that the board approve the suggested snow rule rate increase as enumerated by Manager Lynch.
Okay, I will second that motion. Any further discussion about snow removal rates?
Brian, are you still there?
Okay.
Hello, Brian?
Brian, are you on mute?
It's quarter right now.
Oh, we still have three members.
We still
right?
have three.
Yeah, members. He's gone.
Yep.
He fell asleep a long time ago.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, I'll second third, whatever you could do with this one.
Sure. Okay, so well, since we no longer have Ryan online, we can we don't have to do the roll call.
Okay.
So all those in favor of approving the motion to increase the snow removal rates as enumerated by Manager Lynch, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. David?
Yes. Sorry, I'm sleeping. My mind went somewhere else for a minute.
The on-off switch went on.
No, I'm still thinking of FAA stuff, but that's not enough.
Okay. So that motion passes. Next up under new business, Dominic Lefauci, FAHU.
Thank you for having me back, everybody. Last one, we talked about the potential hangar sale of 85 Kramer Road. Last time we discussed it, I mentioned I'd bring reinforcements because I come from the academic side. I'm not so much wrapped up in the business aspects of FAHU. So I brought along with me for our procurement team, Mr. Jesse Mader.
Really formal. Okay. Hey, Jesse Mader, representing procurement finance for FAHU. So, as Sonic said, we had a potential buyer lined up for the hangar, which is in and he was ready to move forward on a purchase and sale of that hangar to the new buyer, and he was going to plan it for the land, and approval from the NA board to do that. So that's what we're here today to open up for any questions and ask for approval from the board to do so.
So, okay, was that? So you entered the agreement to do the purchase and sale on the building?
We've not executed the purchase and sale yet. We have it drafted and ready to go, but we wanted to have the discussion first.
Yeah, my understanding is that we don't necessarily get involved in the private dealings of the two parties, the buyer and the seller, but we do, in that building, we would have to approve the transfer of the lease, which,
sure.
unless you know, there's something really weird about the buyer, that's more of an automatic kind of thing. So I don't see any issues getting in the way with that.
So you'll just have to contact Susan Clancy and the Airport Authority Office.
Yeah, once the sale goes through, or if the P&S is contingent upon, the approval of the transfer, we might can allow us some.
So it is, at least by the advice of our legal team, so
right.
They asked us to make sure that we got approval from you guys first. So we have grabbed the assignment of the land lease, which is the more important part.
Well, that's the land lease is the issue, but that's the only thing we're involved with.
Yeah. So we'll drop a PM for PMS part of that.
Okay. Unless you sell the thing to the wrong party, that is a party that doesn't do aviation stuff, which you can't do, but there's no reason why we wouldn't approve it.
Right. So the buyer has full intention to use it for aviation purposes. He has a pilot's license himself, so we were hoping he'd be able to make it today, but we got on the docket a little last minute, so he couldn't be here. Absolutely. He's very clear on the use.
And I am familiar with the buyer.
Okay.
Well, I think we could. Are there any more questions? I think we can put forward a motion.
Just the standard terms then, right?
Yep.
We don't need anything necessarily to review to approve, but other than we'll put forward a motion that the NA board approve the assignment of land lease, the SMHU land lease for 85 Perimeter Road per the standard terms and conditions, whatever, of the existing lease document. Okay. So we can approve.
And I will second your motion. Any further discussion? Okay. All those in favor of approving the transfer of land lease for 85 Perimeter, for agreement of these terms, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye, I guess. Aye. There you go.
2.5 ayes.
So it's to the specific buyer that we don't know. I know Chris knows of them.
Is he buying through his name or is
yes.
Michael
yes.
Green?
Okay.
All right.
That's fine. So we're basically pre-running that. I
can actually just mention one more thing of this too. So working with our vendor partner here at Airwaves, who's using the 85 Perimeter Road hangar, in alignment with our MOU with them, I believe it's January 1st, they no longer be storing their airplane inside 85 Perimeter Road unless the future owner give them some sort of lease.
Again, that's something that we don't really.
We wouldn't be involved with that.
Perfect.
That's nice to know. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Okay. Thank you. So, upcoming events we have none at the moment, and that brings us to public input. We close out the public portion of the meeting. Going once, going twice. Okay, no public input. So, director's comments. I'll start with Joe.
Kudos to the team for preparing the report. Doing a great job as usual, and happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Okay, I'll go next. I will echo Wes's comments about how good of a job you and your team do, Chris. Moving stuff. So, we know things will get taken care of this season. There's no doubt about that. And also, thank you for having all the SRV ready to go.
Eldon.
Yeah. If he didn't, we would have had a lizard. That's why you have to get notes now.
That's why you never cared.
Well, I didn't sleep at all last night. I was up every 5 minutes looking out the window, and I was like, oh my God.
David? Yes, continuing a great job here. I'm really happy. I just happened to read an article in the ALPA magazine this month that came out that said that there was a bit of a discussion about what makes an airport good and what makes it great, and the key ingredient was the management of the airport. And so a lot of airports are good. I think this one's great because of the people in this room, both the tenants, the management, and of course the board. I think it's a great team effort. So
thought that was interesting. That got my attention.
Yeah. Okay, and we no longer got Brian online, so with that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn to non-public session pursuant to RSA 91-A32A, the dismissal, promotion, or compensation of any public employee. Who are we dismissing today?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, so this will be a roll call vote.
Okay, Chairman Woods?
Aye.
Treasurer Heath?
Yes.
And Director Duquette?
Yes.
Okay, we're now adjourned to non-public.
Thank you, everyone. Have a good night.